True crime is an event that generally only has a handful of victims. But what happens when those victims might include us? And then we take a look at the upcoming solar eclipse. Conspiracy theories swirl that the world is about to end. But is that prediction half right? Is it possible that the governments of the world are filling our heads of apocalyptic doomsday scenarios connected to this cosmic dance simply to distract us? Because they know the true end of humanity is about to emerge from the deep darkness under our feet. Today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm your host, Jason Carpenter. I'm having a great day. Hope you guys are having a great day too. Hope you guys are having tons of fun doing whatever you're doing. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Last episode, I said I was going to go watch the new Ghostbusters movie. I didn't. However, I did watch the movie Helitosis, The Legend of Stink Mouth, about a man who had a butt for a face. I can tell you that the probably time would have been better spent watching the new Ghostbusters, but we got a lot of stuff to cover today, so first off, running into Dead Rabbit Radio Command, everyone get on your feet and give it up for one of our legacy Patreon supporters, Khaki. Woohoo, yeah, wee, ha ha, yeah, yeah. He's walking on into Dead Rabbit Command, being escorted by our guards. There's no escaping this episode, Khaki. You give me money each month. This is the episode you're going to be in. Basically, that is a alert that it might be a little gross. Sorry, Khaki, but you're going to be our captain, our pilot this episode. If you guys can't support the show financially, that's fine too. It really, really is. Just help spread the word about Dead Rabbit Radio. That helps out so much. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know. Dead Rabbit Radio is your favorite paranormal show. Also, Patreon supporters get the episodes ad-free and can join us for a live episode, recorded live. Everyone gets to hear it, but Patreon supporters can hear an episode recorded live, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, every Sunday. Khaki, let's go ahead and get you suited up here. I'm looking at our costumes we have. We have, like, an astronaut, no, Army man costume? Not that. Ah, here's what we need. And I take a couple of them, one for me, one for Khaki. I hand one to you. It's a Safeway apron. We're going to go get a job at Safeway. So, Khaki, go ahead and fire up the Jason Jalopy. We'll leave behind Dead Rabbit Radio Command to drive us all the way out to Fort Collins, Colorado. Nice. Leisurely drive out there. Now, I know a couple of you guys, once I brought up the Safeway apron, and especially when I said Fort Collins, a couple of you guys bailed out. You're like, no, I'll check out tomorrow's episode. This is a follow-up to a very disgusting story I did maybe just a week or two ago. And the police left us with a cliffhanger. Very rarely do police press statements end with a to be continued. But a quick recap, if you didn't hear that episode, in Fort Collins, Colorado, this happened in like February, March 2024, so super recent. In Fort Collins, Colorado, a man was arrested named Stephen Masalta. This is all alleged, but it's kind of hard to say when he's in a bunch of video footage. He's like, hey, everybody, it's me, Stephen. Watch me do this horrible stuff. Stephen Masalta, 32-year-old man, was arrested in Fort Collins, Colorado, for a lot of different reasons. First off, he was, this is not kid appropriate. You might argue it's not even adult or human appropriate to listen to. Stephen Masalta was exposing himself in front of coffee shops in Fort Collins, Colorado. He was exposing himself. You know, like most Starbucks just have a wall of windows so you can drink your coffee and you can look out at the beautiful parking lot right outside the Starbucks. He liked those places because lots of windows. He would masturbate in front of the There's a lot of things that can ruin your appetite. There's a lot of things you're like, well, I guess I don't need coffee anymore. I'm never coming to Starbucks again. He was doing it for a couple months, and he kept getting reported, but he was wearing a mask. And the police are like, well, we don't know what he looks like. But eventually they did. I wondered how they arrested him when I covered that first story. What they did was they matched his car. They were able to finally get some good shots of his car from this surveillance footage, and they matched it up against some databases, and that's how they came to arrest Stephen Masalta. Case closed. No, not at all. That's what the cops thought. The cops thought, oh, okay, we got this pervert off the streets. What happened was when they went in to get him, they had search warrants for tons of stuff because apparently they knew he was videotaping this. He had his phone out. And they were searching all of his devices and they found just horrible, horrible stuff. And the press release that the police issued about this, they said, there are so many videos that this guy has created, we haven't even watched them all yet. We've just scratched the surface. So more charges may come down the pipe. And now we know. Now we know some of the stuff they did. It's really interesting. In that first segment, I said, I found the dude's LinkedIn. Because, you know, a lot of people could have that name. I found his LinkedIn. And I told you guys that. And in that episode, I said, it looks like he lived in Sacramento for a time. I used to live in Sacramento. And that he worked at New Life Community Church in Woodland, California. And I go, well, that's what it says on his LinkedIn profile. Hopefully he didn't do anything gross there. You can call me a lot of things, but optimistic is one of the true ones. He did do perverted stuff at New Life Community Church. At the New Life Community Church in Woodland, California, they had found, and I think he actually might have been charged for this back then. The article I was reading on the smoking gun didn't make it super clear, but I couldn't tell if he was previously charged for this or if he's going to get charged for it now. He was hiding a cell phone in a box of Kleenex that was sitting by the toilet, like sitting on the back of the toilet. Which is, listen, the dude's both perverted and dumb. Because most people are probably going to be like, ah, yes, a good twinkle. Now, to grab a Kleenex now to touch my face and blow my nose. I'm washing my hands, so that comes last. You grab a Kleenex, and then you look and you see a phone in there. Well, anyways, not the smartest guy. Not the smartest guy by a long shot. He was videotaping women going to the bathroom at that church. Also, they found a bunch of photos in his possession, like on his phones, on his devices, that were upskirt photos. So the police are like, okay, so he's not just doing the exposing in front of the coffee shops. He's also a creep in other ways as well. Like, he's just leaving the big paper trail. Like, I'm glad he's caught. I'm not trying to give him tips on how not to get caught. But he also had a handwritten journal about how perverted he was. And then there's no commentary to that. There's nothing I can add to that. That's just insane. If that was the only thing he had, that would just be enough. And dear diary, today I was extra perverted. And I got a job at Safeway. I don't know much about the Fort Collins Police Department, but if they're anything, they're thorough. They have all of these videotapes, all of these photos. They also decided to take a black light to his car. And there was semen all over the seat. He's masturbating in his car, is what they've discovered with that technique. probably didn't need that evidence, right? They probably could. They're like, judge, we have all these photos. Here's a journal in his own handwriting. And the judge is like, no, I think I need more. I think I need you personally to go into his car and shine a black light on it with no gloves. You're not allowed to wear gloves. The cop's like, what? That's the other thing, right? Like, it's horrible enough to commit a sex. Khaki's gone. Khaki's like, whoa, hey, how do I cancel a Patreon? Dude, oh, there it is. That was easy. It's one thing to do sex crimes in your car. It's the other thing. Like, what did he do after that? He's like, well, okay. Just drives to Taco Bell. He's like putting the food between his lap. He's like, oh, man. Driving home. Like, clean your car. I mean, stop being a sicko. That's my first piece of advice. But also, clean your car, not to evade evidence, which is, that's filthy. That's so gross. Next time a friend of yours offers you a ride, you're like, I don't know. You have a black light. You're checking out your friend's car. You're like, okay. But the reason why this story came to my attention in the first place was one of the video in that original press release, they talked about him being like a flasher or what's the term for it? It's not a voyeur. There's something, an exhibitionist, him being an exhibitionist, him committing sex crimes in public. When they arrested him, they then found out that he was an employee of Safeway and he was contaminating food items at Safeway with his genitals and seminal fluid. Seminal fluid? Seminal, doesn't that mean like a great work? Well, that works for him too. This was his magnum opus. They saw videos of him rubbing his genitals and semen on food. And I stated multiple times during that segment in between me laughing, because first off, I'm like, they specified that it was uncovered food. So it wasn't like he was walking down an aisle of chili beans and leaving it there. It was stuff that was not packaged in any real way. So I go, well, it's fruit. I don't eat fruit. Who cares? I mean, lock him up. Definitely lock him up. But I was like, and I don't eat fruit. I said multiple times on an episode, I don't eat fruit. I don't eat vegetables. If he wanted to play banana tag, literally, I'm not, I mean, it's a crime. If I was on the jury, I would convict him, but I didn't feel personally assaulted by that. But now it has officially come out, the food products that he contaminated. And this hits a little too close to home. This hits a little too close to home. Again, I don't eat fruits. I don't eat vegetables. So I don't normally walk around and go, have any of these vegetables have been contaminated? It doesn't matter to me. However, Mr. Masalta, you've struck a little bit too close to home. Let me read you this quote. This is from the police report. Because I don't think words, my words at least, could truly capture the Cthulhu-level horror this story, which was funny. It's still kind of funny. It was funnier a week or two ago. In one of the videos, this is the quote, quote, in one of the videos, Masalta touches his penis too and masturbates on. So apparently this is what he has done. This hits a little too close to home. A pack of strawberries. Again, I don't care. Strawberries are gross. A pack of strawberries. Strawberries right now, you're like, well, I don't know. Taking a bite, you're like, oh man, thought that was a white chocolate. pack of strawberries. Cupcakes. I'm not a cupcake guy either. I mean, I'll eat one. Not from Fort Collins, Colorado. I've learned that. I will never do that. I'll eat a cupcake if it's available. It's not my go-to. Cupcakes. He was masturbating on cupcakes. He also was doing it to donuts. Which is, I mean, like, that's the worst. Donut, there's two foods that if you put in front of me, I cannot stop eating on my own. I have to get up and leave. Or I will devour all of them. There's only two. Pizza. Jason, yeah, there might be only two, but pizzas are huge. They're huge, yeah. You give me a good pizza. If it's a bad pizza, I don't mess with it. But you give me a good pizza, I can eat the whole thing. A large, not a problem. It will be when I try to go to bed, when my tummy hurts. But the actual act of devouring it, I have this thing where I always like to have more leftovers than the normal meal. So let's say I'll eat maybe like one-third of the pizza. Like one-third of the pizza when I get it. And I was like, oh, that's good. And then for later, like a couple hours later, I'll eat the remaining two-thirds. I can eat a whole pizza. And I don't think I'm alone on that. I can eat a whole pizza. And I will eat a whole pizza unless I leave. And I'll eat as many donuts are available. Like good donuts, not jelly donuts. Those are disgusting. plain donuts, I'm not a fan of those either, but like a nice box of like, I don't like apple fritters that much either, but a nice box of like chocolate bars, maple bars, some old fashions, just regular old donuts. Dude, I could clear 12, no problem. I could easily eat them. I never have. That to me would be like making the difference between snorting heroin and injecting it straight into your veins. I've never eaten 12 donuts, but I easily could. I have to leave if donuts are around after I've eaten 4 or 5 of them. I was like, oh, well, you know, I'm sure someone else here at work wants a donut. He attacked donuts. He did this to donuts. That's not cool, man. When you're doing it to healthy food, I didn't care. It was just gross. But donuts. Now, I get it that donuts are very sexual food items. They might have been the sexiest food at Safeway. But Steven, you can't do this type of stuff. You shouldn't do any of it at all. But you definitely shouldn't do it, stuff that I might eat. And then to just, like, all of that stuff is what I would label just, like, sexual terrorism. Just some psychopath. But then at a certain point, you cross the line into Cobra Commander level chaos. So rubbing his genitals on donuts, cupcakes, his hands are constantly in his pants. He's all, dancing. They're like, Steven, why are you doing the little jig like that? He never washes up. Donuts, cupcakes, strawberries, whatever. But then they found a video of a large, they specified the size of it. This was not a single-use container. He also did this to a large bucket of commercial pastry frosting. Now, the cupcakes that he did this to, they have tracked down who ate those, and we'll get to that in a second. And the donuts, if you did this to one box of donuts, a dozen donuts, and somebody bought those, I mean, I definitely feel bad for you, bro. I feel really, really bad for you. But you're exposing, you know, one, probably, most people don't buy 12 dozen donuts for just them, but, or a dozen donuts just for them, but, you know, you're getting a couple people there. A large bucket of commercial pastry frosting. That's basically anything that Safeway made for like a month afterwards, at least a couple weeks, was contaminated by this guy. It could be anywhere. The cupcakes is super interesting. I mean, good police work on Fort Collins cops. I think they want to make sure this guy never gets out of jail. They went and they watched the video. After they all threw up, they then were able to track down who ordered these cupcakes. There was a specific order for 24 cupcakes. Truly Russian roulette. You have 24 cupcakes headed to a party. One box is completely uncontaminated unless they use some of that pastry topping on it. One box is completely uncontaminated. The other box, every cupcake is contaminated. All 12 of them. There's 24 cupcakes out in front of you. You have to eat one. You have to eat one. How do you... And here's the thing. They know who these cupcakes went to. They've actually contacted the people who ordered the cupcakes and said, hey, just to let you know, those cupcakes were contaminated. How would you even have that conversation? Could you imagine the cops knocking on your door? You're all wiping cupcake frosting off your face. You're all, yummy, yummy, yummy. I went back for thirds. Those are the best cupcakes ever. And you get a knock on your door. There's two police officers there. And they're like, hey, we need to tell you something. You're like, yeah, come on in, officers. Would you like a cupcake? No, we don't want a cupcake. In fact, that's why we're here to talk to you. You're like, what? They know who ordered these cupcakes. The reason why they've had to track them down, one, because they're the victims of a crime. Two, because they did find videotape. I mean, this guy just recorded himself doing everything. They found videotape of him having sex in his car. And they found internet searches. One of them was prostitution, Denver, Colorado. The other one, odd thing to listen to now, I guess I'm just quibbling. Everything he does is odd. I don't know why this one's even odder, but one of his Google searches was worst places for prostitution, Denver, Colorado. Like, why would you want to find the worst? Maybe they're the cheapest. But anyways, basically the police think that this guy might be littered with STDs. And so they have to contact the people who ordered these cupcakes and say, hey, you may have an STD from those cupcakes you ate. Which is not a sentence anyone ever expects to hear. Crazy, crazy story. But I will say this. I could be wrong. I've been famously wrong about a lot of stuff. I very vocally called the internet a fad back in 1997. And I also proclaimed that Titanic was going to be a box office dud around the same time. 1997 was not a good year for me as far as predicting stuff. I think the worst has already happened. I don't think we're going to uncover any more information about Stephen Masalta or his assault on the general population of Fort Collins, Colorado. Although we did live in California for a time, we have uncovered that thing about New Life Community Church or whatever the name of the church was. So there could be worse stuff out there, but I'm going to say no. I don't think it's going to get any worse than this. Khaki, let's go ahead and toss you the keys to the world famous Carpenter Copter. We are leaving behind Fort Collins, Colorado. Fly us all the way out to New York City. Don't land the copter just yet. Don't land it just yet. We're actually hovering over New York City. And I just want you to look at everybody in the streets below us. It's April 5th, 2024. And all of a sudden, everyone starts going, huh? Whoa. Oh. And people are kind of like stumbling down the street. And then we see like a guy, he has like holding a tray full of teacups. He's a butler on his way to work. He likes to take his work home with him. He does extra butlering at home. He's walking down the street with all these teacups. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And the teacups are getting knocked over in his tea. And he's like, no. And then we see a guy jogging. And he trips and he falls. And he's trying to get up, but he keeps rolling around on the ground. And what we are seeing is the effects of the earthquake that recently struck the East Coast on April 5th, 2024. Now, it actually was a super minor earthquake. It was like 4.8. I'm from California. I've been through some pretty big ones. I was in the big 88 quake. So amateurs, right? This is a nothing earthquake. People weren't actually falling over. I mean, maybe if you had a balance issue, maybe if you were an alcoholic stumbling home, you might have been able to blame it on the earthquake that particular day. But pretty small earthquake, 4.8. Obviously, though, it left people a little shook up because they're not used to it. But it wasn't that it was just an earthquake. New York, apparently, since the 1700s, has had 9 earthquakes, including the one earlier last week. Does that make sense? Late last week. It's the timing of it all that's really freaking people out. Because on April 8th, I'm sure you guys are all aware of this, we're having the solar eclipse that's coming. So this is another segment of our program we call Apocalypse Watch, where we take a look at all of these conspiracy theories about the end of the world is coming now. We do a quick analyzing of it. And then I want to talk about another conspiracy theory that's popped up that's completely under the radar. It's really interesting because sometimes the timing is a little too perfect and sometimes a lot of it could be obfuscate. A lot of it could be misdirection. Who knows? This is going to be an interesting one. So, April 8th, 2024, there's going to be an eclipse. It's going to be over the United States, probably other countries as well. I haven't really looked into it. It's going to be crossing the United States. Some people are going to just see a little bit of sun. Some people are going to see no sun as the moon passes in front of it. The cosmic dance continues. So, of course, people are talking about the end of the world. And to be fair, listen, I used to be terrified of the end of the world. It was one of the scariest thoughts to me. I raised Southern Baptist, still Southern Baptist. The idea of the Battle of Armageddon, the Mark of the Beast, the Antichrist, and all of this stuff, the tribulation, everything. It really scares me. It scared me when I was a kid. Nowadays, you know, whatever. I'm saying it's giant locusts are eating me. I was like, boring. But, you know, now I can kind of put stuff in context. And I've lived long enough to realize that there will be signs, there will be wars and rumors of war, but this too shall pass. But when we have this solar eclipse coming on, and we have a war in Ukraine, and we have a war in the Middle East, and we have an earthquake in a place where there's normally not earthquakes, and then Taiwan had an earthquake, but they have earthquakes over there. Luckily, their buildings are so well built. Like, the foundations gave up, but the building's still just standing there. It's just at a slant. We have these earthquakes. We have this eclipse. All this stuff's happening at the same time. Those are natural things. Then we have two wars. One is directly related to biblical prophecy, the world turning against Israel. And the other one, the Bible talks about, like, the armies of the East, the kingdoms of the East. And people have always thought that that could include, well, they used to call it Soviet Union, but during the 80s, Soviet Union. But Russia, China, even Iran are all countries to the east of Israel. We have all that stuff going on. So a lot of people are really, really afraid of the end of the world right now. Now, I'm personally more afraid of the Triffids showing up because of the eclipse makes everyone go blind. But that's neither here nor there. I think it's super interesting, but this happens. We do have a lot of things going on right now that you could go, oh, this might actually be the end of the world. Again, I don't think it is. But we have this stuff happen kind of regularly. Solar eclipses, lunar eclipses, we know when they're going to happen pretty far in advance. Wars, unfortunately, are commonplace, all this stuff. But people are getting really worked up about this, which, here's the thing, it's fine. As far as I'm concerned, you can believe what you want to believe. I'm not saying that you're dumb for believing that these are signs of the end of the world. I'm not saying anything like that. My fear is always the people who take it to the next level. I've always believed, with very little proof to back this up, I've tried looking into this over the years, and I can't really find anything to back it up. But I believe that the 2012 prophecy caused the rise in suicides. Maybe not a statistical increase, maybe not like an extra 100,000, 200,000, but that 2012 prophecy was building up for so long, and people get so scared, especially of the unknown, that I do believe more than a handful of people killed themselves out of fear of that. Now, again, I'm not saying we should never talk about this stuff because people might kill themselves. That's not what I'm saying, but that's just always my fear. And a lot of times the people who promote these end of the world things, what happens is it gets people really worked up. Because all of a sudden you have all of these signs. Like, apparently one of the things that was going around was the solar eclipse in America. It's going to pass over 7 or 8 cities called Nineveh, which is the name of an old Iraqi city that was evil. And they're like, what are the chances that 7 cities would be in the line of totality with this newest eclipse? This must be a biblical sign. Well, it turns out that that's not true. I didn't know there was even that many cities called that in the United States, but it's only going to pass over a couple of them. And I'm sure you could draw a connection with anything. If it passed over 10 cities called Eastman, you could go, oh, that's a biblical prophecy. It talks about the armies of the East. This is signifying Eastman. So, I mean, you can kind of pull stuff out. And it makes people afraid. Again, if that's your jam, whatever. I'm not the arbiter of the conspiracy theory world. But again, what I find interesting is the people who are wrong, especially now that so much of this is anonymous. It's on forums, it's on message boards, where someone can promote an end-of-the-world conspiracy theory, get a bunch of people really worked up, and then it doesn't happen. And then a month later, there's a whole new conspiracy theory about the end of the world, and it's being propagated by the same people, I believe. I don't think the person who truly believes that the world's going to end on April 8th, I've seen this happen quite a few times, famously after 2012, the world's going to end in 2012, the world's going to end in 2012, December 2012. And it doesn't, and then they start going, no, I'm saying that the beginning of the end of the world starts in 2012. That's what I meant. I didn't mean that the world would actually be destroyed on 2012. That was just the start of the ending. So there's always a bit of wiggle room. Huge religions do this, and conspiracy theorists do this, and they always get it wrong. I mean, in 1666 in London, had this massive fire, pretty much the entire country was burning down, and you couldn't get a more apocalyptic setting than that, and still, this too shall pass. We moved past that, obviously, we're in the year 2024. We see these signs, what's going on. There's another really interesting thing that's going on. I just found bits and fragments of it. For a long time, I remember seeing this when I was a kid. Like, I was like the 700 Club or something back in the 90s. There was a Texas rancher who was trying to breed a certain cow. Apparently, and again, I haven't done a deep dive into this, but apparently in Judaism, and I think specifically Orthodox Judaism, there are signs and things that have to happen before the Messiah shows up. And one of those is that a red heifer, a red cow that has never had a, it never been yolked, so it's never done a day's work in its life, has to be sacrificed. That's an extremely rare occurrence, just having a solid red cow to begin with. Well, there was a guy in Texas who for decades has tried creating one of those. And apparently now there are like four or five of them. With through, you know, at first when you're just doing selective breeding, you're like, oh, come on, Betsy. A little white spot on his left kneecap. Ah! Oh, well, you go hang out in the barn. Have fun. I'm going to keep trying. Genetic engineering, you're like, do, 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 do. Type it into a computer. And a little red cow hologram hops out and then becomes flesh and blood, like Weird Science. Apparently, there have been red heifers born at this point, and the sacrifice is supposed to happen. Now, I've heard that's going to happen during the eclipse. I've heard that it's going to happen after the eclipse. I'm not totally for sure. I'm not for sure even if there's a ritual on the docket, but that is the word. And then the other thing, one of the other things that has to come true for the Messiah in Orthodox Judaism to return is the rebuilding of the third temple. There was a temple built by King Solomon that was destroyed. And then the Israelites built a second temple, and that was destroyed. And to have, and this stuff is also part of Christian belief as well. You have to have the third temple built again. So there's always kind of been a push in fundamentalist Christian circles and in Orthodox Judaism circles to get this third temple built, because they want the Messiah to come. The issue is that where that temple presumably stood, some historians say this is the wrong location, but where, you know, religious scholars believe that it stood is where the Dome of the Rock is now, which is a very holy site in Islam, in Jerusalem. This place, it's the Temple Mount is the location, and then you have the Dome of the Rock, which is a holy site for Islam. So you can't just build a temple there. There's currently something there, and it's very, very contested from time to time. Some, every so often we'll see an uprising come out of or because of stuff going on in this area. There's been a conspiracy theory that I've seen recently as well, and I'm not saying that this is true. This is just something that I've seen, is that there are plans to blow up the Temple Mount. There are plans to blow up the Dome of the Rock, and either it'll look like a terrorist attack, or a wayward missile, or a gas line leak, or whatever. But the idea is to blow up the Dome of the Rock, and then that leaves that space available to begin construction on the Third Temple. The red heifer thing, I do believe people are currently working on. To blow up the Dome of the Rock would, if you think things are hot in Israel right now, it would get 10 times worse if that happened. But that, because again, right now we're really in this state of end of the world frenzy. And people are kind of looking at all these connections and see what can be going on and see what it could be. What I find really, really interesting about all this stuff, going back to the solar eclipse, which again, we have them all the time. That's what I think is so funny, that this one is being labels being so important. But again, normally they don't happen during two major wars. we have this solar eclipse coming. I found an interesting thing the other day. I found this interesting conspiracy about what is really going on. We should not be looking up to see signs of the end of the world. Instead, we should be on our knees praying that the doors underneath us do not give way and fall. Because if that happens, there will not be anyone left. All of us are doomed. This is really interesting. Let's take a look at this conspiracy theory. Back in 2014, supposedly, right? Conspiracy cap fully on. In one of America's underground bases, there is a thing known as DUMBS. D-U-M-B. And it's not far-fetched at all. In fact, if we didn't have these, I'd be shocked. This is one of those things that I think it was crazier that we didn't do it. It's what it sounds like. It's a military base built underground. When you're facing nuclear war, that 100% makes sense. I'm sure even small governments have done what they can to have an underground, not just facility, not just a holding room, but almost its own city or state underground. It's completely hidden from the prying eyes of us surface dwellers. And down there, you would do what you would do away from the prying eye of surface dwellers. You're not going to be on the surface necessarily. Well, this might have been the case, right? Saying, hey, let's modify ticks so they can spread Lyme disease. There's the conspiracy theory. Again, it's one that I give a lot of weight to, that Lyme disease was invented as a biological weapon by the U.S. military, and it got loose. Because we can actually see the spread of Lyme disease over time. You know, as these ticks, I mean, basically, I did an episode on it, I'll put it in the show notes. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it was nearby a installation, a military installation, or a U.S. science installation that the Lyme disease first showed up. And it's the idea that these were, and people have raised this issue in Congress as well, sitting politicians have talked about exposing this. Yeah, if you could do this underground, you could probably prevent a lot of people from getting Lyme disease. The idea is that back in 2014, of course, they're experimenting with things they shouldn't be experimenting with. Bioengineering. Not just bioengineering, but bioengineering humans. So someplace on the east coast of the United States, possibly underneath Maryland, maybe even DC, in one of these underground bases, they began trying to work on creating the, I'd say the perfect soldier, but it's almost just like the perfect adversary, the perfect force of nature. It's more than just a super soldier who can run and like jump to the second story of a building and go, "Gotcha, Osama," and then shoot him in the head. No, they're actually working on combining human flesh with nanotechnology. And what they did, according to this whistleblower, was create zombies. They created what, in any sense of the word, is a zombie, which in modern times, the zombie does not necessarily have to be dead. Not so much Walking Dead is the dead coming back to life. 28 Days Later and movies and stories like that, it's just that the human body is so amped up. Crossed did this as well with that comic, Crossed. The body is so amped up on adrenaline that it doesn't feel pain, and it's reduced to a pure animalistic state. All it wants to do is eat and breed. But not through, you know, like sexual stuff where two humans will. It's the same thing that all animals want to do. They want to eat and they want to breed. It's by spreading this disease so there's more of them. And that's kind of what these guys supposedly are. They did create these entities underground, these humans that are infested with this nanotechnology. And they became zombies. So, of course, that whether or not that is what they set out to do, that's what happened. They may have actually had something else in mind, but they have these humans now that are infected with this stuff. So they seal off that part of the underground military base. But it doesn't work. The containment doesn't work, and it spreads, and then they shut off a whole other wing of the underground military base, and the infection gets through that, so on and so forth. Until now, at this point, there is basically one entire underground city that is completely infested with these things. They have a very long lifespan. They can live for quite a few years without even eating anything, the way that their body chemistry is with the nanotechnology. You're like, Jason, this sounds like a LARP. But let me finish. Let me finish. You're right, it does, but let me finish. I don't want to spend too much time on it, because it could be a LARP. It could be real. Could be a LARP. We basically have these zombies underground. And this guy posted this online. People started going, well, why don't we just nuke the dome? Why don't we just nuke that whole area? And the guy's like, you don't understand. These things, although you could say they're the size of a city, the way that they spread out, and they're underneath American cities, he goes, it would cause a huge collapse of an actual city on the surface. There's also a lot of information down there that we don't have on the surface, stored away down to all the other horrible experiments they have. They're like, hey, whatever happened to that Cthulhu we summoned? Hey, we need to get that booked. How to do that again? So they've been sending robots down there, but they just get stuck. They're driving through the darkness. They either get destroyed or they get stuck. They've sent human teams down there, and that doesn't work out well either. Because apparently these type of zombies don't need to bite you or scratch you to turn you into a zombie. They're constantly shedding nanobots and just being in a general vicinity of them, you can turn into a zombie. And he goes, for the past 10 years, they've been trying to retake this base and clear it out, but they keep losing people. They keep getting contaminated. What's going to happen is eventually these doors are going to fail. The way you get in and out of the dome, these creatures will burst through. And his prediction was within 48 hours, like let's say this happens in D.C., within 48 hours, you're going to be having infections in Canada. It's going to spread incredibly rapidly. The only way to kill them is either to blow their heads off like a typical zombie, which is quite difficult actually, or destroy all their mobility joints. So their legs, I mean, then they're just like a torso on the ground. Like they still got arms, but you know what I mean? And then you can also disrupt the signal of the nanobites with EMP-type devices. But he goes, those are becoming less and less successful because the nanotechnology is adjusting to the weapons we're using. So it's actually the nanotechnology is making it harder and harder to kill these guys. You go, Jason, that clearly sounds like a LARP. It clearly sounds like a LARP. I think part of it, yes, and I haven't even gotten to the weirdest stuff. We'll cover that in a second, but I want to take a break here. I think part of it is, yes, we have one person telling this story. And it's interesting because I read it and I was like, oh, that's pretty creepy, right? I'm a huge fan of zombies. I love zombie movies. I read zombie books. Walking Dead, loved it. And I had it in my folder. I was like, oh, that'd be kind of a, fun thing to cover, right, everyone? Succumbing to some sort of nanotechnology virus. And then an earthquake happens on the East Coast in a place where earthquakes never happen. And then I go, oh, okay. That's interesting. Like, was that a last-ditch effort? Were they like, we gotta do something? Because if these things get loose, then we're done for. So now we have a real-life event that happened quite a few days after this post came up. So the person who posted this, who's anonymous, wouldn't know that, obviously wouldn't know that earthquake was coming. One person is saying this, it sounds ridiculous. It's funny because I think you could flip the two. I think if a lot of people are saying this and the Daily Mail was going, people believe zombies are underground, 10 reasons why it's ridiculous. And Snopes goes, deep underground military base full of zombies? No, don't think so. And then they had an article saying how all that stuff isn't possible. Because those major publications are running articles on the solar eclipse into the world thing. I think it's interesting if just a few people were talking about a solar eclipse and everyone, even the mainstream media, was talking about the zombie story, then the solar eclipse one would sound like a LARP. You're like, what? Really? There's solar eclipses all the time. Why would this be the end of the world? It's passing over these cities. Oh, that's boring. Talk to me about zombies. I think that's what's interesting about conspiracy theories is the more people talk about it, the more real it can feel. Even though the details are, you know, you go, Jason, solar eclipse is more concrete than zombies. Because we can see the solar eclipse. We can't see what's happening underneath their feet. Plus, I love zombies. The other thing, though, I think is really interesting, we'll wrap it up like this, because you guys know I love to kind of deconstruct conspiracy theories. I'm reading this post, and you can actually see the point where either one, because here's the thing, there's a couple different ways this could roll out. This story could be totally true, it could be half true, or it could be completely fake. And it's probably 80% completely fake, 15% half true, and 5% 100% true. But as you're reading this narrative, because this guy's writing stuff, people are asking him questions, the pivots he takes, whoever posted this, the pivots he takes either sound like he's completely making it up as he goes along, or it's intentional disinformation. Because what I just told you, you could sit there and go, that does sound a little unrealistic. Zombies, you know, zombies, we've seen zombie movies. We know that they're not real. But I left out some key information because he didn't reveal this stuff until way later either. It wasn't until my second read through that I was like, what? He ties these zombies into vaccines. He goes, remember how we all were told to get the COVID-19 vaccine? That was full of this element called luciferase. And he goes, you know, it's like Lucifer. It's like the devil. So what it is that they injected you with this stuff and you will glow to the zombies. If you got vaccinated, conspiracy, yeah, fully on, you're like, oh, wow. This show took a hard, real raw news turn. According to this guy, if you got vaccinated, when the zombies break out of the underground, they're going to see a bunch of glowing people, and they're going to attack them first, because they just stand out. He goes, the elites, the powerful people, they didn't get vaccinated. They got vaccinated with just like sugar water. It'd actually probably kill you, but you know what I mean? A placebo. It wasn't real vaccine, so they won't glow. Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates and, you know, everyone. What's the guy? What was his name? We already forget this guy's name. The guy with the lab coat all the time. Jimmy Falcone. He was the guy who was telling everyone to get the viruses. He was hanging out with Trump all the time. He's the doctor. You guys know who I'm talking about? But I don't really remember his name. Fauci. So, yeah, no, they all got, like, the fake vaccine. So if you're running, I don't know your vaccinist, but let's say you did get the vaccine, you're running next to Dr. Fauci, the zombies are going to get you first because you're glowing. Like if you're hiding in a dark room, you're like, no one will see me now. And they see this little like glow guy standing in the corner. And that's when I was like, okay, now this guy's funny. I read it. I was like, zombies underground. Oh no, this is so crazy. And then I'm like, oh, okay. And now it's this whole vaccine thing. And then he goes, that's why the elites are building these bunkers. Because they know it's about to happen, but they're not ready. These bunkers, you know, ever so often you see in the news, Mark Zuckerberg has a bunker being built. I think it's just paranoia. Plus, also, if I had a ton of money, I'd have a bunker. I think it'd be dope to live underground. But yeah, so they are building these bunkers to stay away from the zombies. So I could see that. I mean, obviously, I would love to live underground, but also, if I knew the world was going to end, I definitely want to live underground. He also said, like, almost at the very end, I was like, oh, man. Because, again, like, I don't believe in zombies. But he says that the nanotechnology that they're using to do this is actually alien AI. What's super interesting to me is the way it's written out. Nothing about vaccines, nothing about aliens, really not even anything about nanotechnology until probably like an hour or two, because again, it's kind of going back and forth, people are asking questions. Nothing about nanotechnology for a while, and then the alien thing pops up almost towards the end of his question and answer thing, and the vaccine towards the end. Hattie stated all of that in the beginning. He goes, hey guys, if you got vaxxed, the zombies are going to be able to find you. The zombies controlled by alien artificial intelligence underneath our feet. I think I would have immediately dismissed it. I think I would have, well, I wouldn't say I immediately dismiss it, but I probably would have ho-hummed it a bit and then continue to read it. But I think a lot of people would dismiss it. I think eventually I'd go, alien AI, like, you know. And it's weird because, again, if you wanted to tell the truth about something like this, imagine you're typing this stuff up and you get compromised, i.e. you commit suicide with two shots to the back of the head, and someone else, as the cleanup crew is taking care of your body, someone else sits down at your computer, cracks their knuckles, and starts, can't backtrack, but can start adding stuff to it that makes it less and less believable. Now, to be fair, see, with, like, the vaccine thing, I don't think that that makes you glow in the dark. I don't think that the vaccine makes you glow in the dark. So when they brought that up, it's kind of like, eh. But a lot of people who may believe in these type of conspiracy theories have a whole host of conspiracy theories about vaccines as well. So they that might have actually bolstered it for them. They're like, oh, that does make sense, the glow in the dark with the... Interesting conspiracy theory, and I love analyzing stuff like this. I think that part of it could be... here's the thing. We know parts of it are true. One, there are deep underground military bases. I think to say, nope, everything's above board, and we have nothing underground, nothing in these cave systems, I think that is the same thing as saying there's no life in the universe. They're only living things in the universe or this planet. You could say we don't have direct proof that there's life in somewhere in the universe, but we can assume it based on what's happening here. I think you could assume, if a house can build a basement, a government can build an underground military base. So I think that's true. Doing bioengineering, that's true. Experimenting on humans with or without their consent, true. Trying to build a unstoppable fighting machine, true. The only thing that trips people up, I think, in this case, is when you start invoking the zombie mythos, which is a big part of it. But the other thing is you could go, well, I could see them accidentally messing something up and creating this thing. The nanobot shedding and turning into a zombie, even in just close proximity to these guys, again, that came later in the narrative. That was not in the beginning. Any mention of nanobots, all that stuff was way later in the game. So you get people in, right? I was hooked. I didn't read it and go, golly, that's real, like from the get-go, but it kept me intrigued and I kept reading. And by the time I started to go, well, that's a little goofy, I was already invested in it. By the time they got to the vaccine, I go, okay, this is kind of good. But isn't that interesting? Because those are my priors. That's what I have, a base set of beliefs. The same thing with you. Someone could be presenting you with a really, really convincing story, be it alien, be it ghost. Let's do a perfect example and wrap it up like this. If someone sits down and is telling you a story about a ghost that they saw, and it's very convincing, you know this person and they're talking about it, and you're like, wow, this guy actually saw a ghost. Like, I truly believe this guy. And then at the end of the story, he goes, and I really had an issue with that ghost until I had my thetans cleared. I have a buddy who's a Scientologist, and I went and I got the E-meter read, and I had too many thetans on me, so I got those cleared, and then I didn't see the ghosts anymore. Most people, unless they're Scientologists or, you know, familiar with Scientology, they don't have a beef against it. Most people would go, that last part's not true. Because you may not like science. I'm not saying you particularly don't like Scientology, but you see how that example works. You're along for the ride, and then it gets to the end. And I think this happens a lot in UFO stories. People will be talking about aliens, and I see them all the time. And then they end with someone going, and then I prayed, and the aliens went away, and they never came back. And people are like, well, I don't believe in prayer. I don't believe in God. Therefore, I dismiss your whole story, even though it was super convincing up until the end. It's weird how that works. It's a story. There's no proof of it anyways. But then it delves into something that we already have an opinion about, and then we may dismiss it out of hand. So though this was an interesting story, I'm telling it, I'm like, it may be true, maybe not, zombies are eating you right now. You're like, it's true. As the eclipse is happening, you're seeing more and more zombies pour out of the ground. You're like, oh man. Definitely interesting conspiracy theory. Definitely interesting time to be living in. I know there are horrible wars going on. That's not fun for anybody. But other than that, I don't think the other than, you know, those horrible battles going on, I don't think the world's ending anytime soon. If you are getting worked up about this eclipse and you're worried about the end of the world, just remember, you have worried about other end of the worlds before. That's always the message I like people to take away from episodes like this, because I used to be terrified of the end of the world. Terrified. Sometimes it would almost be paralyzing to me. Each time someone predicts the end of the world, or a bunch of people predict the end of the world, and you get all worked up about it and you're actually afraid this might be it, remember how you feel on April 9th when nothing happens. Remember how you feel and go, well, then none of it happened. So the next time someone makes that prediction, you'll remember, well, the previous 10 predictions never came true. Or 50. I mean, we get these predictions all the time, but remember 2012. Remember all these times they're wrong. Because it really can have an effect on your mental health. I really do think that if you dwell on the end of the world, speaking personally, because I went through it as well. When you do get worked up about this type of stuff, and I get emails from you guys, so I know some of you guys do. I just remember April 9th, 2024, when you woke up and everything was completely normal. So you don't get so wrapped up in it the next time somebody predicts the end of the world. Because trust me, there will always be a next time someone will predict the end of the world. And they will also be wrong. DeadRabbitRadio@gmail.com is going to be your email address. You can also hit us up at Facebook.com/DeadRabbitRadio. TikTok is @DeadRabbitRadio. Dead Rabbit Radio is the daily paranormal, conspiracy, and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day, but I'm so glad you listened to it today. Have a great one, guys.